In a world where we are more connected than ever, human connection is in short supply. The world is a noisy, frenzied place, and content has saturated our info-addled neural pathways. So let's get reconnected. Let's choose the experience of connection and change, and to stand apart from the messy, the mediocre, and the mayhem. Welcome to the Human Connection Experience podcast, where it's all about using content to create change and connection. Whether it's connecting your audience to your business, or connecting your team with your organization, or creating content to connect to yourself, this is the place to be. Hi, I'm your host, Jo Gifford. I help founders and CEOs and unboxed leaders create, develop, and manage content that creates change. Hi everyone, it's Jo Gifford here. Welcome to this episode of the Human Connection Experience podcast. My guest today is the super lovely Neil Greenwood. So Neil used to work in recruitment, and even in his corporate days, he was all about connecting people. He went through a personal spiritual awakening and then found himself leading meditation, breathwork, and then dance ceremonies. This led to him leading Morning Gloryville, which is all about connecting communities and having fun. He now leads human connection workshops, which are mostly about encouraging people to connect deeply with themselves so they can have an understanding of who they really are and then have relationships with people that share the same dreams and desires. Neil is passionate about changing the world for the better. This really comes through in our chat. He's just gorgeous. He runs a mindfulness agency that truly cares about sustainability by partnering with brands that are committed to creating positive changes in the world. You can follow Neil on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/IN/Neil Greenwood, or on Instagram at Neil Brings the Magic, and you'll find out all about his new projects, including Conscious Cupid and all the stuff that he is working on, which is an incredible raft of projects. So I'm so delighted that you are here to meet Neil along with me, and we'll put all the links in the show notes so that you can go and follow along with what he's up to. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Human Connection Experience podcast. It's Jo Gifford here. I'm really excited today because I've got a glorious guest with me who epitomizes everything that I love about human connection. If you include cacao with glitter and a dance floor and every single practice you could imagine that I love, it's embodied in this lovely man. So Neil Greenwood, welcome to Human Connection Experience podcast.
Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction. I really appreciate that.
Oh, honestly, I'm just so honoured to have you here. So Neil, if you could give us a rough overview of what you're up to in the world, which I know happens to be about a million things.
Yeah, so technically at the moment I'm a brand ambassador of Morning Gloryville. So that's where I've spent the last 2 years. I've kind of invested everything of my being into that community. You know, we were like putting on raves that like high intense energy, but like playful and silly. Everyone's dressing up. There's children there, there's elders there. It's like, it's a celebration of life is what it was. Like you're like, you have angel huggers on the door just to say like, hey, we see you. We just want to love you. And then like when you walk in through those doors, everything is love. Like the food and drink is the most organic, natural, like this is healthy. There's cacao ceremonies. This will get you high. There's dancers walking around just saying like, hey, come and dance with us, we want to dance with you. So that was my 2 years of like, okay, cool, the world's a little bit like separate, we're going to do our thing and other people are doing that thing, and then Morning Glory was come together. So then you've got lockdown hits and we got to like no hugging, like we're actually not allowed to smile at each other anymore, and you know, like part of me just goes like, nope, like human connection, like just being recognized, speaking to one another, like learning about something else we don't know, like every single aspect of like what we require as an individual to be better, to enjoy a life experience. They're just like, yeah, you can't do that. So So since then, as I was just saying, I got a bit of a rage on. I was just like, nope, I do not accept this. Like, I'm going to go out of my way to make more experiences, more ways to show people like love exists. For 10 weeks, we did like back-to-back sort of like virtual experiences. We were connecting with 1,000 people around the world, and they're all there dancing, saying like, there is joy, there is excitement available. And then from that's led down the path to a few other events and companies that I've started are all geared about sort of like saying, okay, well, if the world is bad as it's meant to be, like, we're going to do something good and we're going to make a big difference. And we can talk about those separately, but that's a bit...
Oh my gosh. Well, let's just start with Morning Gloryville, because I think when I found the community, I think 2016, it was like coming home to the mothership. It's like, oh, it's like all these glorious humans that I've now made friends with, so many of our lovely community. And it is honestly the dance floor where I have cried out grief, I've danced out every single emotion. And it is a community that extends way beyond that dance floor, where you happen to be raving in the morning, by the way, for anyone listening to it that hasn't encountered Morning Gloryville. It is the most beautiful way to start any day. And the love and human connections that I found in our glorious community was absolutely, like I say, it was like a homecoming. And I think it's for everyone that finds it, isn't it?
Oh,
it's like been my whole life.
That's what I found when I went there. Like everyone I met, it's like the key words they kind of say is like transformation and connection. They're like, it transformed my life. Like I decided to live life differently because of the experience, the energy that I felt when I was there. And that's what I started curating. I was like, okay, cool. This is effectively for me, it's like heaven on earth. This is ecstasy, pleasure. Like this is myself just like free and playing and loving. And you know, that's difficult to achieve in like the world went sometimes. So it's like, again, like 2 years, I've practiced at creating that type of experience. And now I use that in like all these other sort of like playful enterprises that are kind of building.
So, I mean, one of the things that I loved, and I've got a really clear moment in my mind. I remember an autumn equinox event at the Shard. And I remember walking out of there all covered in sweat and glitter, having hugged everybody in the days where you could, and seeing all the seas of people walking towards their work that morning as we were all walking out, wearing these outfits and just grinning from ear to ear. And every time I leave an event, actually, people smile because we're all grinning and we've just had the best time. And I remember this image so clearly because it's like we're literally going against the tide of everyone going towards their boxed up lives. Like, you know, my work is all about like unboxing your brilliance and creating human connection. It's like we've just created something that's going to fuel every single one of us to go out into the world. So how did you discover that, and what led to you taking on Morning Gloryville? Because that's not where you started, was it?
No, definitely not. I mean, like I was the guy on the other side, like wearing my suit, right, thinking that's a bunch of hippie weirdos. Like I was a corporate recruiter for 12 years. It was all about making money, all about partying and alcohol, just or play really. Like I was just like, let's just do the things you do as you get to that successful life with the wife and kids. But then I was treated quite badly by businesses, and basically my energy was like used. It was just like I had the ability to make money, but like I was making that money for someone else and I didn't feel really nourished in return. That led me to go to Australia and complete change of pace. I was living by myself. Like I had like no connection to who this successful version of myself. So that image just shattered. And then I was in a place with beaches and mindfulness and walks. And I started learning about meditation and yoga. And before I was that guy that was just like, no, I play football, I play rugby, like I don't need that. But then I was just like, let's give it a go. And I found it just transforming me. And I just found a state of peace within. I came back to London because I was still commercial. I was still like, right, I've got to make money still. Like that's the world we live in, right? But I changed and I didn't want to hang out with my friends that just wanted to go to the pub anymore. Like it was boring. Like I was like the conversations were dull. I just wasn't intrigued. So I started going to some dance groups and Five Rhythms, just like conscious dancing, like really sort of like, let's just turn some music on and have some fun, you know? And then they led me to Morning Gloryville, and I walked in, and I was just like, everybody is happy, and people are creative, and you can look at anyone and anyone will come up to you and smile and say, hey, you look great and welcome. You know, it's just like, it's an unusual thing. Like it's something so simple, but like, it's unusual. Like you are boxed in your world of like, it's my job. I've got to make money to do my thing for me and my partner, you know? And that's like, there's no time within that to look at the world around you and go like, but I care for everything else. And I care about trees. And what about the animals? And, you know, it's like, so I opened up to a real sort of like, oh, everybody here, we should love everyone with like equal regard, like not the selfishness of just me and my path, you know?
Oh, it's gorgeous. So what I'm hearing there is that, as you shared with me before we sort of jumped on, you know, the human connection's always been part of what you do. You know, recruitment is connecting humans. It's a really key part of it. But you connected to yourself in a new way. Yeah. You went away, got a different perspective and was like, hang on a minute, what path am I on? What am I doing? And to come back and to bring commerciality to something so lovely and something so creative and so expansive is such a brilliant thing to do in the world. And to be tapped into that community and to start to see opportunities, you know, all over the place is something that I've certainly found by, you know, growing my friendship groups and circles. And, you know, my story was not completely similar to yours, but I was very corporate, you know, had a sort of design manager, you know, career in London doing that thing, and you're all, you know, commuting and that's where you're at. And my kind of like awakening, my turnaround point was a breakdown a long time ago now. And but it took me out of the normal day. It took me out of what I'd assumed was what you have to do. And I'm so grateful for it, because then you suddenly see that life still carries on around you, but you can look at it through a different lens. And then I sort of discover, you know, mindfulness, meditation, yoga, spirituality in a deeper way, which has accelerated over the years. And I think that my connection to self came from being so disconnected that my body was screaming at me to feel like, please, Joe, it's time to listen now. Please, can you? So if we look at, I mean, we're talking now in October, end of October 2020, which has been one hell of a year for us all. In a world where we are so disconnected socially, do you think we've found new ways to reconnect? And what does that mean for you?
Well, it's a wonderful question. And I would say that there's a very scary solution that people have found, but there is a positive to it. Like, so we've recognized that technology really does connect us, and that's amazing. You know, like I went from, I run a physical rave in London that people that can get to London can go to, okay, well, I actually run it on Zoom now, and people from Switzerland and Mexico can tune into it. That's cool. Like, that's really cool. But there is obviously a world where people are just like sitting at home staring at a computer screen all day long, and that's their life now. The image that keeps coming up to me is this Wall-E, you know, like that film with Wall-E, and it's like that little robot going around on a destroyed planet. And there's all these like fat controllers that are like these obese men that are like, they're staring at a computer screen, and like McDonald's is being pumped into them. It's like, and I'm just like,
oh God,
this isn't good, because like you and I were like, we're conscious, and we've really spent a lot of time on ourselves, you know, like our minds are calm. Like we do meditation, we do yoga, like even though it's hard, we go for an hour run, you know. But what I see is so many people just do not know how to do that practice. Like they're so disconnected to self-care and like, and really wanting to love themselves that they don't do those things. I lead to the opportunity a little bit where people that are now at home and have been forced to say, like, you get like an hour a day to go to the park, have taken that hour, and an hour a day is not enough for me. But for these people, they might not have been doing that already. So it's a beginning of an opening to how important nature is and how important an hour of exercise a day is to someone. So there's a massive opportunity for those people, from my point of view, to introduce to mindfulness, yoga, and sort of like a deeper relationship to your own self, so that you're really strong for your family, so that you're really present in what it is you're doing, you know?
I agree. And this is certainly what I've been seeing in my circles. But, you know, so, you know, perhaps friends and family members who aren't kind of already using a self-practice for well-being and for mindfulness are out walking and rediscovering nature and are refinding that. And I'm finding certainly that whilst I really miss getting dressed up and hugging everyone with glitter, the quality of the conversations and dialogue I'm having with gorgeous peeps is really deep at the moment. So I'm able to, you know, WhatsApp back and forth and get into beautiful, my circles have shrunk. Yeah. So that I'm experiencing really deep human connection, but less of it.
I
think that certainly 2020 has transformed that for me. I'm really conscious of who I spend time and energy with and of where that goes. And it's a much more nourishing, deep connection quality to it. So Morning Glory Bell is only one piece of your puzzle, though. What else is going on?
So I have activated that like recruiter within me, and it really looks to me like there's a lot of people that are working in businesses and there's a lot of uncertainty there. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity to really engage them and help them through this struggling, difficult time. So I've now got some big corporate clients that are hiring me to go in and teach them like basic mindfulness principles. So that's a massive win for me and us, to be honest, because it's like I really do seek on behalf of everyone else. And I'm like, the more people in my mind that I can wake up into sort of like conscious communities, I feel like that's going to really help. Because as soon as everyone wakes up and they're just like, oh, let's contribute to a better world for everyone else. You know, like 7 billion people contributing to a better world. Overnight, we have like a fully functioning, loving society, like literally overnight. That's it. Like if everybody's mind was just like, oh, let's not pollute our world. And let's like a stranger has fallen over. I will lend them my hand and lift them up. Everybody's getting lifted up all of a sudden.
But that's amazing.
But there is an exciting project that I do want to talk about, which is called Conscious Cupids. And it's basically the beginning of a loving community. So it's taken the next evolution of dating. So it's really like we're arranging these experiences. There's going to be straight events and queer events and transgender events. But it's going to be like 20 boys and 20 girls, or 30, whatever, we'll get to that point. And it's going to be lots of different rooms where you can kind of like have conscious like play dates and activities and explorations. So the core of it will be to help people find love for themselves. It's like, I want to experience something new and I want to have a deepening of love with myself. But you're going to introduce people to like-minded who are like, I don't know what's going on, but like, I want to get a better version of my love as well. And then at the end of it, you're gonna find lovers, you're going to find new friends, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is to have a better life and like really love yourself.
Oh my goodness. How amazing is that? So what I love about that as well is the end goal isn't, if I'm going to find someone who's going to complete me and, you know, it's like, no, I complete me and we go and play and then we see what happens with these amazing humans.
Yeah. And it's like you were saying about your friendship group has got smaller because you're like committed to that. So it's like, okay, cool. Well, that is good. But how about there's other collective groups that have got smaller. How about we just intermingle you with those? So it's like you still get adventure. You still get the opportunity to be inspired by someone you might not have met otherwise, you know?
Oh, that is gorgeous. So how's that looking right now? What's the state of play for Conscious Cupid?
So we've got our first date has gone live. It's the 4th of November. It's a 2-hour Zoom experience. Like, obviously, this will be an amazing live experience and we'll curate it with a whole kind of like Morning Gloryville love festival attached to it. But we can't do that right now, so we'll work with what we've got. So, yeah, so the first event is like we're just looking for, our first like 2020, you got to fill in a form so that we kind of like getting an idea of like, what are you looking for? Like, are you seeking something greater? Like using the word conscious is going to rule us out of quite a few different areas. Cause like, what is consciousness? But we're like, well, we'll capture that. Like we actually care about people that want to better their lives and the world around us. So that's what we're
oh. I love it. So your connection to self must be pretty strong. And before we press record, we had a quick chat about your practice. And I was saying about how I'm feeling my energy is quite sludgy in October 2020 and that I, you know, we all need to up our self-care. What is your sort of normal day? I can't imagine there is a normal day, so I'm going to retract that. What does your practice look like? And how do you create that gorgeous connection to self to bring this stuff to life?
Yeah, thank you. So I guess like I'm learning all the time. So like I'm not the finished article, and I'm very excited about that actually. Every morning I allow myself to wake up when my body says. So I'll just wake up and then I'll allow myself to kind of choose like do I feel energetic? Like what do I want to do? Is it a yoga day? Is it a go for a run day? Is it like a hardcore physical workout? So And I specifically do not allow myself to pick up my phone or laptop for until after breakfast. Like, and breakfast may well be 7 a.m. It could be 11 a.m. Like I'm a real like that technology is not getting touched until I am myself. And, you know, like I've on this quest for self-love, I found my purpose. Like I understand the meaning of life. I know my full self. I know exactly what I came here to do, exactly what can be achieved and a way to change this world for the better. Like I'm full of energy because everything I do is geared toward a better life for myself, for my family, for my friends, and for this world, like, you know, like animals and trees, like I'm just like, we're in it together. Like the trees and animals, they're talking to me and I'm like, we're going to change everything. Like I'm just like really inspired by life, to be honest.
I had a chat with a tree just before our call, actually, and a big old hug with one. That's so true. And I've got tears in my eyes because it's just so gorgeous to experience your energy and your vision. Because it's more than us, right? It's all of us. And if this year's taught us anything, it's like, come on, guys, we need change. Yeah. We need change in the systems. But what I'm seeing, and even just from just saying that you're going into corporates now talking about mindfulness, the systems are changing. We're pulling down the usual structures that aren't serving us. And my purpose is to help people see their brilliance and to create change through human connection. Mm-hmm. Which is what you live and breathe every day. So for me, you're just like, it's such a beautifully inspiring human for living that. How did you begin to follow the breadcrumbs to find that purpose though? Was there like, I mean, you know, you mentioned your trip to Oz and stuff, but was it one day you were like, I'm really clear on this now, off I go? Or was it more of a sort of gradual purpose?
There was a light bulb moment, and that was at Burning Man. I was 29 years old and I'd never gone to a festival before. Like I really was quite corporate and my parents were, it was like festivals were for hippies and drug takers and those people that just weren't part of society. And I went to, I was really low. I recognized that I was low and I just didn't know what to do with myself. And to flip it on its head, I was just like, let's be open. Let's allow what comes to be something. And I went there and I tried some like special plant medicines and I which is something I would never have done before. And I even opened myself up to some experiences I wouldn't have done before. And it really was like this light bulb moment of like being open to something new, you know, and like not criticizing, not saying no, like negativity, like that is wrong. It's like, why? Like the world is like breaking itself. Like that's wrong. Like maybe we need to do something different. So, and then I think something that's really important is that life is really like a learning experience. Like we're really here to learn and grow. And if you then realize, if you recognize that something's wrong and you put your focused intention to bettering yourself, whatever means that might be, that might mean like quitting your job and going and living on a beach for like 2 years. But like, as long as you feel that it's a gradual progression, like I'm getting better every day, I'm getting better. It might be one sort of press up more in the morning, but like every day I am getting better. Like that's a beautiful breadcrumb beginning.
Oh, it so is. Just seeing those tiny steps. And, you know, I quite often share with people who are struggling, who are almost forcing stuff to happen. I'm like, you know, spot the moments when you are feeling in your joy, where you really are feeling that feeling of just being so fired up and so passionate, and just notice what you're doing in that moment. You know, were you in conversation? Were you helping someone with something in particular? Like, what led up to that moment? Because they're the breadcrumbs, aren't they, to follow. It's like, okay, I was doing something then that lit me up. What is it? And to have the courage to question everything. Like, I love that your first experience was at Burning Man with plant medicine. That's like full on.
Yeah, first ever festival, Burning Man. And then, would you like to try plant medicine? Be like, I don't know what it is, but yes.
I mean, that's like, and that's like a 10. Let's dial that one right up. We're straight in. That's not like a little cheeky bit here and there. Just, you know, it's like, no, in. Done. Love it. I absolutely love it. So Neil, where can we find more about you and your quest on all these amazing projects?
I think the easiest place to describe that is like on, like, just follow me on Instagram at Neil Brings the Magic. My LinkedIn profile at the moment is just changing every day, because people seem to be like, it's like people are like rushing to this, like this wave of conscious change that I'm like fully flowing in. Cause it's like every project that I'm working on is almost like a call in to people. Cause it's like, would you prefer to have a better life? Probably. Do you want to connect with people that are lovely? Almost certainly. Like, and also, do you want to make money and thrive because of doing something lovely? And it's like, everything I do is about that for everyone else, you know? So it's just like, yeah. But Instagram is probably the easiest way just to kind of follow me, because that's just like my life and just like the things I do on a like a daily basis, just to kind of like, because it's just like every step is a, every, I take every step and like just come with me, really.
Ah, oh, it's just gorgeous to be hearing about all this stuff unfolding and to you know, have this conversation. And I'm sure that would have sparked off so many people's imaginations with what they can do. And I would love you to come back on in a few months' time when we discover what, you know, what happened with the rest of it, and it would have shifted again. Oh, it's amazing. So inspiring. Neil, thank you so much.
My pleasure. I really appreciate being on here. It's lovely. And you're amazing. Like, I can feel your energy too. Like, you're smiling the whole time and you're just there. Very joyful. Like, joy is a very kind of like a difficult place to be. And I don't think many people know how to really experience that. So if it's you, you're clearly there beaming. So really well done on all your, on your practices as well.
Thank you. I mean, I'm in my happy place speaking to humans like you. I mean, what, like, this gets to be work. It's great. I absolutely love it. And my practice at the moment, it's been really interesting. It's been very much riding the kind of ebbs and flows of what this year is unfolding. And some days that might look like a 2-hour walk in nature, you know, with feet in the mud. Some days it might look like I'm down the gym, you know, lifting heavy things, or some days I might be curled up with the cat on the sofa. All of it's gorgeous. All of it's fine. And like you, I'm so honored that we get to create a day as we need it and to reach people that need us, and utter joy to be in service of that in any way. So
absolutely. That kind of is the breadcrumb and like ending that you talked about. Like, there is, that's the beginning, the bettering of yourself. But like, this whole service piece, I think, is a little bit misunderstood. Like, if you say to someone, like, choose a life of service, like choose to serve the greater good, choose to serve animals and plants, it's like, why on earth would I do that? But, you know, like, when you give yourself fully, like, the things that you receive in this turn are like this. And like, when you look after someone, the satisfaction you get in yourself, and it's like, it's a misconception. I don't think too many people are connected to that. Everyone is so lovely. Like, human beings are lovely. I do not detract from anyone's care of another. There is a system that kind of like makes us forget this sort of stuff. But like, when you love someone and give yourself to someone else, you feel this like nourishing fulfillment that is like kind of, you don't understand sometimes if you haven't really sat with it.
I think we're scared to sit with love though, aren't we? We're scared to sit with love of ourselves. We're scared to go there. And yeah, I think the word service has such a, like, I immediately think of like being a nun with like tasks and things to do, rather than like just living a joyous,
full range, sensual, loved, filled life. If that service, which we know it is, it's like, okay, I'll take that one, please. And I'll go out and you know, create magic. And I often describe it as like, you know, and I know that you know this place, like when you're in full flow and you're in full joy and you're getting the downloads of what's coming next and you're just receiving to put out to the world whatever you need to, whether it's an event, a program, a talk, a book or whatever. And you just know that it's coming through you. I just feel like I'm a conduit half the time. Yeah. It's like I'm just here to receive and to put it out. And sometimes that looks like a conversation on the dance floor. Sometimes it looks like a hug. Sometimes it looks like writing something profound, or it could be helping someone who's a brilliant leader get their message out to the world. It's like all of that, and I get to call that work. Like, thanks.
Well, it makes a difference. I stopped calling it work, and I started calling it a labour of love.
Ooh, yes, completely. It's not work, is it? It's just play. We get to play, and things happen, which is just an honour. So anyway, my lovely, I'm gonna let you go. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you.